Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'd like to announce my return to professional wrestling.
Yeah! You're about to see what David Arquette went through this weekend. And that was an actual fluorescent bulb that was shattered over his head and then used to stab him in the face.
Happy holidays from the Arquette family of yours.
WrestleMe Must Pete!
Oh, WrestleMe Must Mark. How you doing, man?
Very good. How are you, dear boy?
I'm good. I'm having a pret-a-manger coffee.
Oh, but Pete, it's Christmas Day when we're recording this.
I know.
Where's mine, you fucker? Hey, well, welcome to WrestleMe Must. This is the penultimate edition. I say that like it builds to something. It doesn't.
Right.
It's totally randomised, the entire thing. There is no inherent... Don't be listening to the first one and thinking there's clues to the ending.
No.
There isn't. It's not how it works. It's a podcast, mate.
If you remember all of the letters we've given you, put them all together and you can win a WrestleMe shirt.
I did think about putting in codes and stuff. You always do when you sort of first start stuff. You're like, hey, I could put in a code. It's like, this wrestling, what am I going to do? The code is the Rock and Roll Express. Great. Well done. That made no sense. talking of no sense at all, David Arquette. We're going to be talking about Nick Gage versus David Arquette that happened in last year, 2018, at GCW LA Confidential.
Yes.
It was. Now, we have actually talked recently about David Arquette and his wrestling career, but we haven't done it on WrestleMe.
No.
We did it on a podcast called Friends with Friends at the London Podcast Festival. That was a right laugh.
It was a right giggle.
So what I thought we'd do...
I tried my best to kind of vault fast the hell out of that thing until we were just in a mess of non-sequiturs and little conversational cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that it was that easy to talk for an hour in front of a live audience about Friends.
We just took over,
I thought we ruined quite a lot of it. I can imagine if you were like a fan of Friends with Friends, you'd listen to that one and you'd go, didn't like that one.
They didn't talk about Friends.
Didn't like
you
that one
You talked about Joey's Heinz tomato sauce commercial.
Yes.
Way too much.
Yeah, and one of you was actually sort of quite aggressive to the host.
that's both of us.
That's true. But it's actually, I listened back to it and I was like, oh, that's really good. And there's a part of me that goes, I hate replicating stuff that we've done before. Because I think the WrestleManiacs, they just deserve
fresh
content.
Recorded at speed because we've got a booking in the studio the next hour.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I mean, fresh content, it doesn't necessarily have to be good. It certainly doesn't have to be slowly delivered. But if you would like to hear us talking about David Arquette and his sort of WCW career in front of a crowd who, let me tell you, had no idea what any of that meant.
No.
Then Friends with Friends is the podcast. I think I might even link to it in the show notes at some point. Who cares? Who cares?
Lovely.
The important thing is you're going to be listening to this. We're not going to be going through his WCW career. That is taken as read. David Arquette was the WCW champion in a terribly booked thing that everybody hated, but he was also very nice and he gave all the money he made to the families of recently deceased wrestlers. So the man is a great guy.
He just seems like an awesome dude and he loves wrestling.
He does. He really does love wrestling. And this is one of the things about David Arquette that is, I think, really, it's the problem that he's got. Is that he loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And so he felt that like his WCW run was a bit of a smear on the business. He's the only person from Hollywood who would care enough about doing wrestling and going, but I feel I did badly for wrestling.
Yeah.
I want wrestling fans to know that I'm a wrestling fan. Mm. And as a wrestling fan, I'm not happy with that. And so what he's decided to do is he spent the last year or so doing quite low, I was going to say rent, but that's not true. Low quality is not true either.
Notoriety.
Yeah. He's doing small federations and he's going around with a camera crew doing a documentary. And he's talked about this documentary as to why he's doing it. So he said, I wanted to answer the questions of why people hated what happened in WCW so much. What is wrestling? Why do some people take it seriously and some people not take it seriously at all? And maybe most importantly, why do I love it so much? Mm. Now, I mean, if you want to know why, you know, wrestling is taken seriously and stuff, listen to this podcast because it's really a masterclass. But the thing about, you know, why does he love wrestling so much? And I have begun to come to the realization, I don't think anybody loves wrestling more than David Arquette. I just don't. He is 47.
Yeah.
There is no need for him to be, you know, taking these smaller things where the scrutiny is always on him, where the wider world are mocking him.
Yeah.
And the wrestling fans are just like, he's a bit of a gimmick, but, you know, ha ha ha, all fun and games, not only. And he's still doing it. Hulk Hogan does not love wrestling as much as David Arquette.
No.
Ric Flair does not love wrestling as much as David Arquette. I don't think anyone loves it more than David Arquette. And this is the one night, I think, where he probably didn't love wrestling.
He loved it up until a point.
He did, yeah.
He did,
And then he was very, very frightened of it. Very frightened.
And the people that might be in it.
Yes.
We've talked about people like New Jack before.
Yeah.
That they're legitimately frightening.
Yeah.
I went away and watched a lot of interviews with the man David Arquette fights in this match.
Bet you did. Nick Gage.
Frightening.
He looks like... He's almost fully human. It looks like a sort of like Dr. Moreau's Island, where he'd have a manservant and you'd sort of go, so where did you live before you came to the island? And he'd go, where live? Live Island! But he is a legitimately frightening guy.
Yeah.
I think he is also a legitimately very professional, you know, and well-admired guy. Mm. He's now been... Nick Gage's his story was unremarkable. Mm. He was a deathmatch garbage wrestler, some people would call it, for CZW, which was like ECW, but more violent.
Right.
And what they took was some of the extremes of Japanese deathmatch wrestling. It started around Delaware and New Jersey, which is where Nick Gage is from, and he was one of the five people who set it up and became sort of most famous from their association with it. They used things like weed whackers, panes of glass, barbed wire. It was ultra violence is what they called it. They went from hardcore, CZW were ultra violent. And Nick Gage was very much one of the prime motivating sort of forces within that company.
Yeah.
They had a thing called the Tournament of Death, which would run every year. And that is a like the King of the Death match that Terry Funk and Cactus Jack were in that we've, I think, done on a previous WrestleMemus. It was just horrible hardcore matches in a big tournament. In the 2009 Tournament of Death, Nick Gage actually had to be airlifted out of the event because he was so badly damaged. So he has this aura around him of being the real deal. You know, there is no doubt about
that. He's almost died at least once. He smashed an artery in his arm, I think, in his arm, and he's still wrestling when they had this. So
yeah,
you need to go to hospital now, mate.
He is one of those guys I don't think anyone could say, you know, he is not legitimate. I think the thing that he portrays in the ring is that he is a tough and violent man. Mm. And I don't think necessarily that is a million miles away from the real Nick Gage.
He likes his girls.
Yep.
He likes his boys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's bisexual. I'm saying he likes hanging out with his boys.
Smash something in your head.
Oh, God. Cancel all of this. Cancel WrestleMate. I am moving to Costa Rica.
There are things that I've always thought about being like on podcasts. And I've always thought to myself, you've just got to be careful about what you say about people like New Jack and Nick Gage. Now, the New Jack thing is a year ago. And I think he's not heard it because I'm alive. So he probably won't. Welcome to your year from hell, Pete. Donaldson.
He's going to plunge his one horrible tooth into my head. His broken, shattered, well, pointy tooth.
The funny thing about Nick Gage is, like a lot, he was just a deathmatch wrestler, if you like. But something happened in 2010, which was that he was arrested for armed robbery. Mm. He, I think he'd basically gone into a bank and demanded money.
Yeah.
And he was jailed for, I think, 5 years. He was let out pretty much after 3 years or so, and then he violated his parole. I think he failed a mandatory drug test.
Right.
So he served the rest of his sentence. So he did pretty much 5 and a bit years in prison. When he came back out, and he's just, it was like a career reinvention. And he himself seems like such a straightforward guy. He has that thing of, you know, he's just like, you know, I like deathmatch wrestling. I saw Terry Funk, Cactus Jack. That's always what I've wanted to do. You don't get anything. He's never going to be in WWE. He's never going to be in a sticker album, you know, because he's just this unique character that comes along every now and then, where you just get someone who, when he returned back, he had so much support. And he talked about why people got behind him. Because why would you? He's horribly violent. He's just come out of prison for this robbery. And he said he thinks that the fans connect with him as a performer.
Right.
He said, maybe I'm just true to who I am. I'm an honest guy. I come from the heart. And I think they see how much I enjoy this. Maybe they see that I didn't give up when I got locked up. Could have quit, thrown the towel in, did the total opposite. Maybe they connect with that stuff, stories like that. I like the fact that he's just like a lot of good wrestling characters, they are an amplification of the person you actually are. And when he comes out, it is impossible not to say all wrestling, of course, is predetermined. But it's impossible not to go, except for matches involving this man. Because he just seems so legitimately violent.
Yeah.
And enjoying
it. And he's you know, he's just sliced up, and he's big, and he's horrible, and he sort of...
Got blank eyes like a shark. His gimmick is just standing there, blank-faced in the ring, and just waiting to attack someone.
He says, he sort of goes on about, he's like, if I had to get a proper job, they'd have to check that, you know, I'm a felon, so I wouldn't be able to get a decent job. So, this is me. I'm going to die in this ring, etc. You know, this is who I am.
He does continually use the language of death as well, which is unusual. There was always a sort of a basic thing in wrestling that you never say, I am going to paralyze you, because tempting fate, and also it's a bit distasteless. In wrestling, you never say, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Because A, you can't deliver on that, and B, you fucking shouldn't. But Nick Gage spends his entire time on Twitter just going, I will leave your body in the ring. I will kill you. See this guy? I'm going to kill him on Tuesday.
Is Nick Gage on Twitter? Good God.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Oh, my
word.
Yeah,
under, I think, Nick Gage MDK.
Right.
The MDK, that sounds, what's that? You see it in a lot of T-shirts.
Is it a video game from the 90s?
Unfortunately not. It's Murder, Death, Kill.
Murder, Kill, yeah. I believe that was the moniker of the 90s,
it's one of those things that you could never do in a big company. You could never do in a company that had television. Mm. You can't have a character on that has... It sounds a bit like the BTK killer as well, you know. Oh, yeah, BTK, yeah, homeboy. I'm not actually Bind, Torture, Kill. I'm Murder, Death, Kill. When he comes out in this match, which is held in one of those places that we just don't have in this country.
It looks like a stand-up comedy night sort of thing. A lot of exposed brickwork.
Yeah. It's one of those places.
Or a nice restaurant.
Yeah, it's a sort of like American bar.
Yeah.
That has
bar.
The bar, but then they've got a big arena bit.
For country dancing.
Yeah, or cockfighting or, you know. I would love people to start building those in this country. I know we don't have the...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Room.
Dive bars.
Yeah, like Big Red's in Holloway Road, yeah. Which literally shut a month ago. It's
so
absolutely heartbreaking.
So
we could have killed David Arquette there. But as he comes out, Nick Gage, the commentator just goes, "Ah, fuck!" Out he comes. And Nick Gage comes out wearing... I mean, these are clothes that if you saw on the floor, you would just be like, I'm not even going to put them in the bin.
He's walked past a Sue Ryder shop, yes. And put all the clothes on.
And Sue Ryder leaves stuff out for the rag people, you know, and he's just like, brilliant, the whole outfit there, including the underpants. Wonderful.
David Arquette is dressed like a proper wrestler.
A wrestler from a film version of what a wrestler would be, where he's just like a sort of cross between Randy Savage and sort of RuPaul, and I mean,
he's got weird glasses that I've never seen before, like leather glasses,
leather glasses, and a black fur coat, and he comes out, and he's got streamers that come out of his hands.
That's pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
And then the ring announcer is playing up to that thing of going, you know, you've seen him in Ready to Rumble. He is a former WCW champion, and he does a big bow, and it's at those bits that you sort of go, you have no idea
what is coming. Why did you agree to this?
Now you think you know. So after this match had happened, there was a lot of controversy about had Nick Gage just attacked David Arquette, which is how the mainstream media sort of really did.
Right, okay.
Yeah, should I say the lamestream media? When it comes to wrestling, I'm not racist. But the whole thing with that is that they had a very much a thing about the match all went wrong and David Arquette was attacked. Which really wasn't the case.
No.
So a lot of the wrestlers, and indeed the GCW owner, have all come forward and said, actually, Nick and David met the night before, or the day before. They went out for lunch, and they were saying everything that was done in the ring had been discussed in advance and agreed by David. And they were saying David was actually the one pushing the envelope and saying, I want to do loads of stuff with the light tubes, I want to do all that. The problem is, of course, is he's saying that to Nick Gage. And it's one thing if you're a Hollywood actor, and you know, if you ever work with like actors and people on television, they will have that thing of just going, do you know what would be great? We could just do a thing where, and then like the dog comes through and there's all this. And they just get very carried away.
It's Tom Cruise, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Tom
exactly.
Cruise who goes, I'll do this, I'll do it. Yeah. And they go, you can't do this because you'll die. Yeah. You can't, because we're literally against our insurance.
He's saying this to Nick Gage. He's going, do you know what would be great? Bust a load of light shoes on my head. And Nick Gage is just sitting there going, I'm going to fucking do that anyway.
Yeah, that's bare minimum, mate. Bare minimum.
I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Bare minimum.
Hey, do you know what would be cool? It's like if you could give me colour and you could just like, you know, with the light tube. I was planning on doing that anyway. I'm going to basically push that down until it touches the inside of your collarbone through your head. Okay.
So the whole kind of like the moment where it looks like he's really pissed off. And I think he is legitimately really pissed off. Because Nick Gage is over the top of him. He's cutting his head with a light tube.
Yeah.
There's blood everywhere. And then I think... the whole thing is he cuts his neck. And it's quite a deep cut and there's blood coming out.
And
so obviously a bit worrying because, you know, it's near all your arteries and stuff. But it's clear to me, watching wrestling for a little while now...
Mm.
Arquette fucks it up. He thinks he's going to get flipped. He thinks he's going to get like picked up, whatever. He isn't, and he fucks it up, and the light tube, you know, accidentally cuts
from
his
what,
neck.
From what I've read, there is a thing which is the match was all going right.
Yeah,
but David Arquette panicked. And partly that's because I think there's a funny thing.
There's a big man cutting your head open.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Nick Gage and you're used to doing this to Sabu, say, what does it matter if you cut him on the forehead? Well, David Arquette is
An actor.
He is a normal man. He isn't going to want to be wearing a scarf for the rest of his life on his head. I think what it was Nick Gage in the ring goes at 100%. And I think you'd meet him outside and you'd watch some of his matches and you wouldn't know until you were in there just how full on this is going to be. So I think what happened is David Arquette began thinking that Nick Gage was shooting, essentially.
Right.
That in this pre-done plan, he was obviously hurting him so much with this light tube on his head that he could feel it moving in a certain way that he was like, shit, this guy's trying to legitimately scar me. Mm. This is a funny thing. If you are not actually a member of professional wrestling, but you're an actor, there is a thing about you thinking, well, this guy could make a huge name for himself
if he
really damages me.
Yeah.
I don't know what he is. All I know about him is he's an armed robber, and in his introduction, he just screams out that he's the mayor of death, you know, murder, kill county, you know? Suddenly you're in that thing and you're going, I know there's an audience here, but that doesn't protect me.
No.
I know there's cameras here, but that doesn't protect me. What if this man is a fucking lunatic?
Yeah.
What if he is trying to get into my brain to eat it, and then he thinks he's going to become a movie star? You know, it's just, and what happens is that David Arquette suddenly panics and he tries to buck to get Nick Gage off him.
Yeah.
That is a legitimate thing. And as part of that, Nick Gage, I think he's basically lifting the light tube off his forehead as David Arquette bucks. And that is where the neck gets glopped open. And out, Nick Gage is just there with the light tube. David Arquette rolls out holding his neck, and he knows something really bad has happened.
Yeah. There's blood coming out your neck, David.
Yeah, he said in an interview afterwards, I got cut in a part of my neck muscle that was really close to my jugular. It's in an area called the box in your neck. If you get hit there, it's pretty deadly. I'm thinking, I just got cut in my neck and that's my jugular. I am going to die. Mm. So he rolls out of the ring. He goes into the crowd. Bizarrely, the person he asks to check his neck is his friend, the actor Luke Perry, who died earlier this year.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Luke Perry's son is Jungle Boy in AEW, so he was also a wrestler on the card that night, Jungle Boy. So Arquette turns to Luke Perry and says, is my neck pumping a load of blood? Is it just spurting out? Mm. And Luke Perry said, no. He said, so Arquette said, I knew I didn't cut a main artery or a vein. I could feel something was wrong with my neck, but I wanted to finish the match and tell a complete story. So what happens is he rolls in and he just holding his neck and he just lies there, sort of wanting Nick Gage to just pin him so they can do it over. And Nick Gage is a bit like, nah. Nah. And that is a moment where, if you were David Arquette, that is post that injury, that's where my blood would run cold, where I would go, what the fuck is it? I'm trying to help him here. Look, you can win the match. Yeah, it's not about that. What is it about? So what happens is,
I'll do this until I'm tired.
We've got another 15 minutes that we were going to do, mate. My head is hanging off. Nick Gage just carries on. And from that point, he just gets very unlucky. So he gets a load of light tubes. He hits David Arquette with them. And it's worth saying, by this point, David Arquette has done a pretty much a traditional death match. The fans have turned from being, you know, just sort of curious into chanting his name. Everything that David Arquette has ever dreamed of. Nick Gage hits him with the light tubes, and for some reason, the first time in wrestling history, none of the light tubes break. So David Arquette thinks he's attacking me and he's doing something different. So he picks up a chair that has light tubes on it, hits Nick Gage as hard as he can.
That did look cool.
It did. And the chair goes with all the light tubes. Oh, those ones fucking break. And Nick Gage, realizing something's going on, just does a sort of judo throw hip toss on him and pins him 1-2-3. And David Arquette, you can see, is very rattled. What's sort of really interesting about it is everyone in the backstage suddenly realised there was something weird going on and there was a shoot. And, of course, Nick Gage was the one who looked like he'd done something bad. He actually wasn't. You know, I think David Arquette afterwards said, it went off the rails a little. He said, I was pretty pissed. I was at fault for it. Once I got cut, some things happened in the ring and I reacted. We were both at fault for the neck cut, but me defending myself is how it actually happened. I was in the hospital and I had to have surgery to sew up my muscle and clean up my wound. It is what it is. I have no hard feelings with Nick Gage and I hope he doesn't have any with me.
That's
the last thing you want Nick Gage to have
with
him.
Luckily, he can't cross state lines.
Very true. I would not be happy if I was on a plane with him. Too much of a confined area.
God, no.
But, I mean, is that nice thing about David Arquette really set out to do this match? Now, he also said he did not understand the difference between, if you like, a traditional WWE hardcore match and a death match when he agreed to do it. But then again, he'd also talked it through, so he did have an idea. He felt that this match had actually set out really to do something that he wanted to do, which is he got respect from the wrestling community. You know, he isn't just a guy who turns up and, you know, flounces around and is mocking of wrestling. Mm. He went and did a death match. He got an absolutely horrific injury in it, and he was thoroughly sort of like brilliant to get through it and not to turn around and just go, right, everyone is being sued. You know, you fucking monsters.
To be fair, I mean, obviously Nick Gage and his company probably got a bit of heat off it.
It was on TMZ
for a good couple of days.
Nick Gage did, I mean, it made him a, you know, for a brief period, he was the second man in a huge story that even if you didn't have any interest in David Arquette or wrestling, this sort of thing in the Metro that you'd be like, oh, that's, I'm going to read a bit more about that, you know. Nick Gage, I mean, again, you sort of see that there is behind this sort of blank, the killer, you know, as when the match ends, you know, Nick Gage, he just sort of gets on the mic and he just sort of shouts, if you don't want to take shit, don't come to my fucking world, because deathmatch wrestling, we bleed every fucking day and we fucking love it. And everyone cheers and he seems like a monster. In the statement that he gave, you know, to one of the outlets, he just said, look, it did get people talking this match, and that led to more people watching it. So it goes both ways. But as a professional and a performer, I didn't like the way the ending went down.
No, yeah.
So you suddenly realise, okay, you know, it's too easy to write him off as just being this terrifying, frightening guy. Actually, you know, he sees the artistry in deathmatch wrestling.
I was watching the Jake the Snake was on Joe Rogan, so I was looking, I was trying to find, like, interviews about this match, and Joe Rogan is interviewing Jake the Snake and he shows him this video, and Joe Rogan doesn't seem to have that much of a handle on what deathmatch wrestling is or hardcore wrestling is.
Yeah.
And he's gone, oh my God. But he's just, like, Jake the Snake's quite dismissive about David Arquette, but Joe Rogan is just obsessed with David Arquette's muscles. He's like, man, he's jacked. Man, he's, God, that body, man. Oh,
I don't think he is really jacked, is he, though?
he's all right for a man of advancing years. He looks pretty good.
Look, he looks like...
Because he's quite skinny, wasn't he?
If he was in, like, the Mickey Rourke The Wrestler film, as a sort of like hapless, essentially as the real David Arquette, then you would go, yeah, he's sort of in good condition and everything. But all I would say is it just goes to show you can be in the best condition of your life, Pete. But then at some point you have to go up against Nick Gage. And you know what he'll do? He'll find those muscles and he'll just slice straight through them. Good old Nick Gage.
I enjoyed it. I respect David Arquette for doing that. He seemed to know some moves. He seemed to know the moves. So,
yeah. He does have a period where he tries to do a dive through the ropes, which he does three occasions. And I think for the first time in wrestling history, every single one of those fails. He really cannot get that right. But look, he's 47. He doesn't need to be doing this.
No.
And there is something really uplifting about seeing someone who just loves wrestling so much that they are willing to put themselves in a ring with Nick Gage. I love wrestling. I would never ever want to be near him. He just scares me. And do you know what? I'm the same as you. I watched this back and I really, really enjoyed it. And there is a part of, I don't want to be in the ring with Nick Gage because I think he is a great professional wrestler, because he has created a character that genuinely scares me. And how many people can you say that about in wrestling today?
True.
Magic.
Fantastic.
I don't think there'll be a rematch, said Arquette. Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.